That looking forward to going to heaven, but I ain't in a hurry to get there. Got a lot of things here I want, but I'm ready to go on this morning. Y'all bless my heart, I'm telling you. It's been a good morning. I thank you for all that you've done. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Put your finger on verse 17. Just hang out there for a minute. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea when your life doesn't live up to your expectations. When your life doesn't live up to your expectations. You're going to have to do a little searching for me and your individual lives this morning to understand everything that I think the Lord is trying to share with us this morning concerning this and what your expectations for your life were or are, and could your expectations for living, are you living up to those things? Jesus is on his way to the Passover. When he makes his way into Jerusalem, he knows that when he leaves there, he'll leave there a corpse. He's going to die in these next few days. Realizing that in his his heart and his life, he asked his disciples about some things. Talked with them about what was to come. Tried to get them to understand. But God's expectations and man's expectations don't always coincide. And therefore, what we live in our lives in expectation that we got plenty of time. We're going to be here till we 90 or 100. I seen a thing the other day that says that by the year 2040, I believe it is, that they expect the life expectancy of people to be well over 100, 110, 115, 120, you know. And if I'm in good health, I welcome that. But if I'm not in good health, let me go on to glory, you know, and get out of this. But when I think about your expectations for your life, I have to do like Jesus did. He knew he was going to die, but he also knew that he was going to die a sinless death. Not for anything he'd done, but for all of us, every one of us. And the expectation that he had that he was going to have to go to that cross and die was discouraging to him. He went into that garden. He took Peter, James, and John with him. Told them to stay here, watch and pray. And he went in and he prayed and he asked the Father, if there's any other will, any other way, Lord, I don't want to go to that cross. But nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Three times he did that. The expectations of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, was such that they could lay down right there beside the period of time that Jesus was about to die and go to sleep on him. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning and say to many of us in our spiritual realm of our lives, could we have allowed it to go to sleep on us? Are we obtaining everything that the Lord wants for us in our hearts and our lives? We got a fairy tale expectation that we're living our lives by. You know, what are we thinking? in our hearts and our lives? Could your expectations for living be destroying what you have? Many, you know, we just don't know how to be thankful sometimes for what we have until we don't have it. Kind of like missing water till the well goes dry. We just automatically believe it's going to be there when we turn that knob. But not always that way. God blesses us with a perfect mate. You know, good job, family, beautiful home, but there's no happiness. All these things are stuff. Without peace and without some contentment, your plans for the future have gone by the wayside. Some through sickness, some through death, some through financing, divorce. I can go on and on and on naming things that can hinder our expectations for our lives. But it's nothing unusual to just us. I want to point out some key people that Jesus told parables about and stories and predictions of what they were to face in their hearts and their lives concerning them, you know. And as he comes into Jerusalem, he knows and he sets his disciples down and he talks with them. And just like I'm talking with you this morning. And he says to them, hey, look, guys, when we go to Jerusalem this time, I won't be returning to you alive. I'm going to die on that cross for the sins of the world. Boy, did that bust their expectation. He's going to die? What are we going to do without him? How are we going to achieve our expectations of what we were hoping for, what we were looking forward to in our hearts and our lives concerning this? And here in verse 17, it said, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus. They said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? He had already told them, you know, in just a few short hours he was going to die. And they was only worried about what? Eating. Where are we going to prepare this? He told them in verse 18, he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. It's time for me to depart. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Just go, you'll find the place there in the city. Tell him, the master said, my time is at hand. None of us know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to deal with us. Scripture says that I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Disciples did as Jesus said, appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. When the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and he said unto them, as they did eat, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. What are the expectations of the 12? What'd they say? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? He answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Son of man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. Then he shares the meal with them. They sung a hymn, and they went out and to the reality of what was fixing to happen in his heart and his life. Think about Peter. Old Peter, he was the loud mouth of the bunch. He thought he always had to be the spokesman for the group. And the Lord told him when he sat down to talk with him, he said, "You know, you're going to be offended because of me." And he described what he was about to have to go through in his heart and his life. What did Peter tell him? "You can count on me, Lord. I'll be there. I'll go with you through whatever you're caused to have to go through in your heart and your life." Peter didn't understand what happened. Just a few short hours, Peter denied him 3 times. You know, he couldn't live up to his expectation of saying, "I'm with you, I got you back." That didn't work, did he? What about Peter, James, and John? When the Lord needed to have a little strength and he had to have an encouragement, he went to talk to his father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took Peter, James, and John with him. And he told them, "Stay here, watch and pray while I go and talk to my father." When he come back, what did he find? They were asleep. They were asleep. I wonder for us, spiritually, have we gone to sleep on the Lord in our hearts and our lives? You know, old Pilate, he couldn't find no fault, but he didn't have enough backbone to turn Jesus loose. He scourged him or whipped him, turned him over to the crowd, and they cried what? "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." That's what they wanted for him. And old Pilate, he went over to that basin of water and he washed his hands. He said, "I can find no fault in this man." And he thought just washing his hands, he could cleanse himself from any wrong that they may do in their hearts and their lives. You know, think about Mary. God love her, she got up way before daylight and she made her trip down to that tomb. And her expectations was that she was going to be able to have her last few moments with Jesus before his body decayed to the point that she couldn't go to that tomb any longer. And when she looked in there, what did she find? Her expectations was to see Jesus, but he wasn't there. What was there? An angel. An angel. And she spoke with that angel concerning that. She thought he was a gardener, but he was God's messenger in her hearts and her life. She didn't know what was happening until she heard something, either behind her to the side or somewhere of her. What did she hear? Jesus did something. You know what he did? He called her name. "Mary? Mary?" And what did she say? When she turned and she saw Jesus, she said, "Rabboni, teacher." See, even in his death, he was still helping us to learn more about him and our hearts and our lives. Jesus come, and he made his presence known to so many. I think about Thomas. When Jesus appeared in that upper room, there's just 10 of them there. Judas done gone out and hung himself. Thomas, we don't know where he was, but he wasn't with them at the time. When he come back, the other disciples, "Boy, you missed it. We was all locked up in here. We were scared to breathe, afraid they're going to come after us, going to do for us what they did for Jesus. We've been worried. Where you been?" You missed something. Jesus come right through those walls. He appeared to us. The first thing he had to do was what? Calm him down. Calm him down. And he said, "Peace be unto you." And their heart and their lives. And then, whenever he said, y'all not going to make me believe that story, except I put my hand in that nail-scarred hand, pierced side, I will not what? Believe. I will not believe. A lot of people not living up to their expectations today because they're failing to believe about what God has for them in their heart and their life. I can go on and on with illustrations here, but I want to get to the part that God is really speaking to my heart about concerning this in their hearts and their lives. You know, after it's all said and done, Jesus has appeared to them. They have seen him. They know he resurrected out of that grave and stuff, but they still don't believe because he's not living up to their expectations of what they think things ought to be like in their hearts and their life. What was their expectations? What did the mother of James and John bring them to Jesus and ask Jesus? Lord, if you owe me any favor at all, I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me. Have my two sons, one to sit on the right hand, the other on the left. You know? What'd Jesus tell her? You don't know what you're asking for. For her. He knew what he was going to have to go through, didn't he? In his heart and his life. She didn't understand those expectations like he did in his heart and his life. And old Peter, when that rooster crowed, what do you think he thought? Whoo. Man, I blowed it. I told the Lord, I got you back. I'll go with you through thick and thin. You don't worry about me. I'll be right there with you. But when a little old damsel girl says, I know you. You one of them. You. No. Another. No. Third one, he even cursed a little bit. You know, this mighty man of God got so upset. And when the Lord appeared to him and told him some things and then disappeared, they still didn't believe. What did Peter say? I go a fishing. What was he before he spent 3.5 years with Jesus? He is a fisherman. That was his trade. That's who he was. And so he took Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John and a couple of more of the disciples, and he says, I'm going back to my boats. I'm going back to my nets. Going back to what I know. See, his expectations that Jesus was going to set up a kingdom here on earth and there's going to be principal players in it didn't work out. Sometimes you and I, we plan our lives as if we're going to be here forever. But God may have a different set of plans for us than that in our hearts and our lives. And they toiled all night. They drug those nets and they drug those nets and they kept pulling those nets up. And they had how many fish? None. Worked all night. Why? Oh, they were working against what the Lord had for them. You know, sometimes you and I, we feel like we trying to meet our expectations, worked our fingers to the bone, you know, and stuff. You know, a husband will do everything in his power to provide for his family if he's a good husband. You know, if he sees a need or a want in his family, a lot of times he'll talk to the boss and look, if you have any opportunity for me to put in a couple hours over, I need to do so. And then there's those that spend too much time at the workplace and not enough time at the house. Being with their family and loving them and caring for them and helping them in their hearts and their lives. The expectations of us that we put on our families sometimes are great. We got to have this new house, or we got to have this new car. We got to have this new whatever in our hearts and our lives. And instead of becoming a blessing, it becomes a burden to us. And so many things will happen that takes us away. And that house and that home, that job in our hearts and our lives. But you know, if there's no happiness, there's no peace. There's no peace, there's no contentment in our hearts and our lives. I've seen a lot of expectations, a lot of dreams have gone away because of sickness, because of death, finances, divorce, you name it, in your heart and your life. But I want you to listen to something. And I'll try to be quick with this. Jesus knew that Peter took all those guys and gone fishing. That had to be a real letdown to him. After going, being spit on and mocked and beat, nailed to a cross, all the heartache and hurt and suffering that he went through, yet he didn't complain. What he asked the Father? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know? And when he sat on that cross, before he took his last breath, it is finished. What he was saying was, this old life here is over. Now I'm back with my Father, going back to the right hand of the Father. After toiling all night long, they came rowing back to shore, and they saw a little flicker of light coming from afar. And a voice by that fire called out, have you any fish? No. We've toiled all night, and we have none. And as he got closer and closer and closer, John realized, hey, that man standing by that fire on the shore is Jesus. That's Jesus. Peter's, really? He grabbed his coat, and out of that boat he went, started Jesus. What was Jesus doing? He is cooking breakfast for them. Men worked all night. They're tired and hungry. First thing he did was met their what? Physical need. Then he got down to the business of why he was there. They all sat back and the Lord's in control. And he looks over there and he says, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than you do these men that are here with you? You know, what do we put ahead of everything else, including God sometimes? Our families, our stuff, our whatever. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Will feed my sheep. Do what I've called you to do in my heart and my life. He said to him again the second time, but Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Do what I've called you to do. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou? Lord, what have I got to do to convince you? Well, you said you had my back, but you didn't have it, you know. You said you'd go with me through the fire, but you couldn't take the heat. Lord, knowest I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep, my heart, my life. I want to make a little statement to you, a little thing that God revealed to me the other night as Kim and I were watching TV. I watched them Blue Bloods and Chicago Fires and all that stuff till I can tell you every word they're going to say. You know? I told Kim, I said, find something else. I'm tired of this. She got on the thing there and got to her favorite channel over there and the where they got all them cards. What are they called? Hallmark Channel. I got a favorite channel on there I like to watch, you know. Then sings a heart or something other, whatever it is, you know. But I'm pulling for the old Mountie and the thing, you know. And Elizabeth is torn between two men that are vying for her love. Okay? And she'll lean this way a little bit. And I said, you better leave him alone. He ain't no good. He saw, now you're on the right track. And it's just back and forth, okay? And I'm losing most of the time. But finally, she comes down, and she knows she's got to make a decision. So the other night, as we was watching it, during that, you know, she goes to see the Mountie. And she tells him this statement. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. She said to him, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Could that be what our relationship with God is? God, I love you, but I'm not in love with you in our hearts and our lives. Let that soak in for a moment. Easy to say I love you, isn't it? But it's harder yet to prove that, isn't it? We prove that by doing what? Doing what none of these that I mentioned could do. Peter could say, I'm with you, God. But when put to the test, what happened? These men went back to their old ways, fishing. Told all night, but what did they get? Nothing. All the things that we think is going to bring us peace and joy and happiness and concern, you know. But is your life living out your expectations? What you thought, what you hoped for, what you thought was important in your heart and your life? Do you say you love the Lord? But are you letting Him be the Lord of your life? Your heart. Let's pray. God, I know that we set expectations of what we hope for. And God, I've been here for a long time, and I've seen a lot of expectations fall by the wayside from some tragedy, sadness, sickness, health, divorce, whatever. God, I pray this morning that each and every one of us would examine ourselves. And we say, do I love the Lord? Or am I in love with the Lord? There's a difference. If we're in love with Him, we'll feed His sheep. We'll go where He tells us to go. We'll do what He tells us to do. We'll be what He wants us to be. In our hearts and our lives. Don't fool yourself this morning. God is speaking to you. He's saying to you, you may think you love me, but if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. Speak to our hearts, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want you to just ask yourself that question. Do I love God? Or am I in love with God? One's good, but the other gets everything God has prepared for you. Have you gone to sleep on Him? Are you toiling, working, trying to make heads or tails of your expectations? Coming up empty? Feed my sheep. Let God deal with your heart and your life. And we'll give you the praise. Brother Ernie, what are we going to sing?
Jesus paid it all.
Let's stand together. He went to that cross. He paid that price.